Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free audio Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today's show, Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us, 215-592-9494, as the Philadelphia Eagles have won 10 straight football games, and yesterday, maybe the most dominant of all of them, outgaining the Steelers 401-163 and holding that football for the final 10-29, the guy that was on the call yesterday to call that final drive and a 10th straight victory is Merrill Reese. He joins us right now, the voice of the Eagles. Merrill, how you doing this morning?
I am doing just fine. Forget the weather. The sun is shining where all of us are.
Well, you're right about that, Merrill. A great game yesterday by the Eagles. And really, it starts with the quarterback who played, in my opinion, his best game of the season. Merrill, yesterday, it just felt like he was in total control from the start to the finish of that game. What did you make of Jalen yesterday?
Well, he was, and he is a great quarterback. There's no doubt in my mind. But I think that perhaps in the weeks preceding, he tended to be a little too careful. They had heard and talked so much about turning over the ball too much, and after the bye, he was very, very guarded, very, very careful. But finally, he came out, and he made quick decisions. He threw accurately. He really lit it up.
He was great, and I agree with you. Yeah, it was almost as if he was a little bit less cautious, but yet still with that, Merrill, I never thought he put the ball in harm's way through the air. I mean, he was making decisive decisions, and boy, you reminded yesterday just how good this pair of receivers are, because the two of them, you know, they combined for a ton of catches, ton of yards after the catch. It was fun to watch them play yesterday.
Well, they're a very, very good team. I am not one who goes crazy and says, this is the best team in football. I'm not about to say that. I'm going to say that there is no team better than they are right now. They are right there with the best teams in the National Football League. Now, the next 3 weeks, we'll see where they are position-wise going into the playoffs, and I think this is a team that certainly has a shot to do big things. But at this point, you can look at them and say, there's no
Well, I agree with that. It's hard because no one right now looks more complete. We just talked about the offense, Jalen Hurts, and we know how good they've been running the football this year. But, Merrill, it's the other side of the ball. That's been the change from the past couple years because I believe this is the best defense they've had with this group of players and Sirianni as the head coach. And, Merrill, yesterday I thought early in the game those back-to-back fumbles, one by Jalen and Watt knocked it out, and then Cooper DeJean on the punt return, that was a chance for the Steelers to jump on the Eagles. But that Eagles defense – every week they do it, Merrill. That was so impressive to hold them right there to only three total points.
Well, it's a combination, Joe, of great players, and they really do have talent, and great coaching by Vic Fangio. I think he is an amazing defensive coordinator. He reminds me a lot of Jim Johnson, who certainly was one of the greatest who has ever been around. But Vic has done a great job with this team, both in giving them confidence, putting them in the right position. And early in the season, you take a guy at training camp, and people last year were talking about Nolan Smith being a waste of a draft choice in the end of the first round. And at the very beginning of the summer, Vic said, this guy's getting better every day, and this guy can play. And you can see his confidence. And now Nolan Smith has become one of their big playmakers.
He was really good, Merrill, yesterday. And it's been like a quiet thing. You kind of start adding up what he's done this season. But it's been a big leap for him, Merrill. They've had several players take these kind of big leaps this year between Nolan Smith, N'Kobe Dean, Milton Williams. You kind of add it all together. And some of these guys that were here in the past, they're just better than they were before. And I credit Vic Fangio for that, bringing this out of them.
I do, too. I think he's done an amazing job. And then, of course, the addition of Zach Bond. Zach Bond has been absolutely a great player.
Well, he has. And Merrill, I know the Eagles don't have a history of paying linebackers, but I can't imagine this defense without him. I really want him back here next year, Merrill. We'll see what happens when we get there in the offseason. But the way I view him is he should be here for years to come.
Well, you're right. And for how many years has it been that everybody's looked at the defense and said, well, the one weakness in the Eagles' defense is the linebacking is just okay. It's marginal. These are great linebackers. I mean, they are making such an impact on this defense.
And it's every week. Either one or both of them makes huge plays in the game. They did it again yesterday. Merrill, let's go back inside that final drive. Were you surprised when Mike Tomlin punted the football down two touchdowns with about 10:40 to go? It didn't feel super late, but it also, I was thinking through the math in my head. I was like, are they really going to have two drives here? Now, they ended up having zero after that, but I was a little surprised he punted there and gave the ball back to the Eagles. What did you think of that?
Well, I think it was Mike Tomlin having confidence that his defense could get it together and make the Eagles go 1-2-3 and out. And I think a coach has confidence in his defense and he reacts that way. But what had happened earlier in the game was going to happen all over again, and the Eagles continued to dominate. They came in here, the Steelers came in here saying, we've got to stop the run. That's it. We've got to stop the run. Make the Eagles beat us through the air. And then they did. They really did.
Yeah, and you're probably right that Tomlin thought he can get a quick three and out, get a short field, and maybe try to win the game that way or get back in the game. But, Merrill, what instead ensued was a 21-play drive. It's hard to find many of those in NFL history. What was it like watching that play out? And you started to realize, I'm sure, halfway through, like they might not give the ball back at all.
Well, it just continued my belief that this defense is really red, and the offense, too. The defense sets it up, but this offense – how many times have they now closed out games with 4-, 5-, and 6-minute drives? This has become part of their MO. It's a regular thing now that they need this drive to clinch it, and they're able to do it.
Yeah, 21 plays, 88 yards, 10 minutes and 29 seconds. They finish it off. Merrill, it is a great day, great game yesterday, and we got another big one coming up this Sunday as they could clinch the division and the 2 seed at least down in Washington.
Yeah, this is going to be another good drive, very, very good test for this team. I think it's good that the Eagles are playing teams like Baltimore and Pittsburgh and a Washington team that has become very, very difficult to beat. So I think it's going to be a big challenge. I think it's going to be a good game. Certainly the Eagles really are the better team. But again, they're going to be tested this Sunday.
No doubt. And it's the second time facing Washington, so that should be an extra little test there. Merrill, we appreciate you hopping on. Great call yesterday, and we'll catch up and talk to you on this pregame show Sunday.
Thank you, Joe, and have a great day, Hugh.
Have a good one.
There he goes, Merrill Reese there. I keep going back to 21 plays, 88 yards.
Yeah, that was pretty impressive.
21 place.
That's keep away. That's keep away football right there. And that's, and a lot of times, you know, when you want to have success, you just want to sit on the ball as much as you possibly can. Yeah. Take away the possessions, and that's basically what they did in that 21 play drive.
I think there's two sides to the coin, though. One is 21 play drive is so impressive, and it just like takes your soul away. The other side of it is Mike Tomlin was a coward on that. I mean, that was a cowardly punt.
Ooh, that was strong.
I mean, was he not?
Well,
down
two scores. I think at that point you're feeling like your defense is a bully, and that's what you're counting on. Isn't that what the sequence was? That was before T.J. Watt got hurt or after?
Watt may have gotten hurt on the last done. That's was he
yeah,
hurt on the last
so,
drive or the
I think
second?
It was the final drive.
Yeah, which lasted forever. So right. I mean, at some point. But I just like did he think they were getting the ball back twice with less than ten minutes to go?
I think that he was looking at it the way that they were playing. They were pretty physical. He probably thought that they were going to be in a position to get it back
twice. Though he was down two scores.
Yeah. Probably
I just thought he had to go for it there. What was it, like a fourth and seven around midfield?
It wasn't crazy.
Because it was a third and 22, right? Russ threw it for like 15 yards in the middle of the field. It was probably like a fourth and seven or fourth and eight. I was surprised. Now, I didn't think they were going to hold the ball the whole time.
Russ missed, you know what's funny? And I know we don't complain about this, but the refs missed a lot of stuff yesterday.
They did, including the Jalen Carter head slap, which we'll get to here.
Boy, Jalen Carter slapped smoke out of somebody.
He did. We're going to get a Big Hugh breakdown of that whole thing, including Clint Hurt and Sirianni on
big
the
hurt,
sideline.
Big Hurt.
Woo! What was that? All right, let's go back to the phone lines here. 215-592-9494. A couple polls out today. Maybe my favorite poll day of the year in terms of a Monday show. First, is that what y'all wanted to see? Yes or no? Yes, it's exactly what I wanted to see in the past game. And the second one, who deserves more credit for the Eagles' win yesterday, the Eagles or WIP?
How do you think people are handling that one?
Not well. Not well at all. I mean, I voted WIP. Let's go to Donald in Chester. What's up, Donald?
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Donald. What's up, buddy?
Man, listen. Hold on a second.
Mm-hmm.
You gonna call us and tell us to hold on?
Yeah, we're just gonna hold. We're good.
I mean, come on.
We're good, Donald. I'm in a good mood today. You can all hold.
I just thought it was funny.
What's up, Donald?
Listen, fellas, I had to see. I was telling Kyle that I wanted to mention Nick Saban, right? And Kyle was like, Nick Saban, because I was listening to Rob Ellis Saturday, and Rob Ellis had mentioned how you know Nick Saban wanted Hurts to be a better passer, and man. When I was watching this game yesterday, I was like, man, I wonder if Nick Saban actually got a chance to catch the way Jalen Hurts is doing surgery. Because the first play of the game, it was a zone when he threw that pass to Grant Calcaterra. It was a zone defense. He threw it in that seam right there. But it was like Pittsburgh, you know, was one of the top rushing defenses in the league, you know. And they did that yesterday. We saw their turnovers, how they make them force them, and we saw how they shut down limit Saquon and Hurts. Hurts just stepped up and just looked like that quarterback we have been waiting to see, man.
Oh, he was great.
He had a hell of a game.
Donald, it's interesting the play you thought of, because I think most people are picturing in their head the throws to AJ, the throws to Devontae, but that was a good one. First throw of the game, up the seam, and he had to throw that one with little anticipation because it was like a double move with Calcaterra. That was a nice throw.
He sure did, because that was the part that we all wanted to see, you know, and the outside looking into Bird Nation just thinks that we're being difficult or just think we're, you know, we're just nitpicking and, you know, and we all know that was the missing piece to our Lombardi trope.
Exactly. You know? I just think anyone that wasn't critical of the past game last week has low standards. If you have high standards,
you know
that past game had to get better. Donald, good phone call. They knew it had to get better. That's why they had the whole week of drama, because the receiver and then obviously PG kind of airing his frustration with the two of them out on WIP. They all knew it had to get better.
Yeah, and it was a perfect storm. You know, we knew going into this game that the Steelers were going to make you throw the football. And because, you know, that's defense one-on-one, because Jalen hasn't shown a propensity to do a great job of it in the last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So you tend to look for deficiencies in people's games. So that's the one you felt like there was something going on. So if I'm a defense coordinator, that was the right thing to do. It was just that Jalen stepped up and answered the bell. He answered the call. And he did a hell of a job doing it.
They don't have a deficiency if he plays like that. Yes. I mean, and every other team that's good, like we're talking about the best in the NFL. They all have issues right now. We're going to get to the whole NFL landscape, where the Eagles are for the one seed. But like the Lions' issues are their defense. They're falling apart day by day. Like they're losing
they're
real players.
Old.
Yeah, and it's just hard to stop anyone when you have 13 players on the IR. So they have real issues. The Buffalo Bills have they're having the quarterback having the best season in the NFL. But their defense isn't very good. I mean, they just got 100 points put on basically in 2 weeks or close to whatever it was, 890 points. And then you have the Chiefs, who are obviously the best, and they are the team that's won two in a row. But, Hugh, they slog through these games, the Chiefs. And now Mahomes is banged up again. They can't protect him. Like if you just looked at it from outer space, you didn't know anything about these teams the last few years or who they are, who they're supposed to be. You would say the Eagles look like the least flawed.
Yeah, and they're the most healthy.
Yes, that's true.
You know, and that's huge around this time of year. They're the most healthy, and they're the least flawed. Even though, you know, you let us tell it, they've had some flaws. They just have to be. They have to figure out a way to be consistent. You know, they got a little dinged up yesterday. It wasn't nothing major, but it did happen. But when you talk about the other teams that are in the NFL right now, they're the healthiest.
Yeah, you almost. I was saying this morning before the show with the extra game, it almost. You feel it this time of year because every player, like, please, no more injuries, right? You don't want injuries. Like yesterday, Saquon got banged up with the hip.
A little banged up.
Seemed like it's okay, but he was banged up in and out of the game. And then AJ, I mean, Hugh, that play with it, first of all, they should have called a hip drop tackle on
that. Yeah, that's what it definitely looked like.
That was scary because when he went down, I was like, oh no, oh no. Like, you know,
he dropped that ball quick, like he was hurt.
He did, and then the way his ankle fell under him, it was a scary play. And look, the Eagles could clinch almost everything this weekend, right? They can get as high as the 2 seed would have win on Sunday to clinch the division. And then the weird thing is, like, there's still two more games to go. You just cross your fingers. You just got to get out of these, got to get to the postseason. But if they play like they did yesterday, they're going to be playing for a while in January. Tom in Middletown. What's up, Tom?
Hey, guys. How are you today?
What's up?
Listen, I am just saying right now, I think the Eagles are the best team in the NFC right now. Okay, you know, I'm not going to take anything away from the Chiefs or anything like that. But a team that is sneaky and you got to be very careful of, and I was just talking to Kyle, is the Vikings. I think the Vikings are going to steal that division from the Lions last game of the season.
So I don't believe they are, but Tom, I agree with you that they're good. I mean, Tom, the whole NFC is... You know, now we think right now the Eagles look like the best team. This might be as good of an NFC 1-7 in the playoffs as I could remember. I mean, the Commanders are probably going to be the 7 seed, and they are going to have like 11 or 12 wins. It's a good conference this year.
Yeah, and I did not know this, and I was talking to Kyle. If the Eagles and Vikings end up tied, but the Vikings get they win. Like the home seed?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I didn't understand that.
So, yeah, so the Eagles need, just to lay it out for everyone, the Eagles need to win out, and they need Minnesota and Detroit to each drop a game before the end of the season. Otherwise, the winner of that division will get the one seed, not the Eagles.
Okay, all right. So I don't see that happen. I see Minnesota coming in. They're going to win that division. We're going to end up tied with them. And the ironic part is, we won our Super Bowl in Minnesota, so our NFC Championship might have to go through Minnesota.
Well, and that's who they beat last two times, you know, when they went to the Super Bowl. They beat Minnesota and then won it there in that stadium, yep.
But now, if you look at the parallel, Minnesota and Kansas City are playing very, very similar styles of games. Minnesota will give you all kinds of yards in between the 20s. But they don't give up a whole lot of points. And they squeak by. They win by like 2 points, 1 point. They're winning just like Kansas City. And that doesn't make them a dominant team, but they're winning.
And they play tonight. Yeah, they play. Look, they've been good. I mean, Tom, I didn't think Minnesota would keep going at this level. And Tom, we preached a phone call. Maybe they will. I mean, they play tonight against the Bears. I don't know. Can you picture Minnesota as the one seed? I still can. I think it's going to be the Eagles or Lions. I haven't
yeah,
changed my mind on
that. Yeah, that's what it is. But, you know, when you have one of those teams that has been flying under the radar, you kind of leery of that. Another team, you know, since we're talking about teams that you might not want to see, man, I don't know if I want to see them Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I said last week I do not.
You know what I mean? I'm just saying, as well as Jalen is playing, I mean, that Ty Bowles defense, man. I know I'm getting ahead of myself.
No, this could be – so it's almost the inverse.
I'd rather see the Falcons than the Buccaneers.
Well, me too. Of course, me too. But unfortunately, I don't think it's going to be the Falcons. I think the Bucs are going to win that division.
Yeah.
I mean, they're pulling away.
No, the Falcons got – they got tomato cans down the stretch.
They have two tomato cans. They also have Washington. A couple tomato cans.
Yeah.
I don't think that the Falcons –
You don't think they could beat the Commodores? That's the revenge game, though.
For who? Kirk?
For Coach Quinn.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think the Bucs are going to win that division. It's funny, 2 years ago when the Eagles made the Super Bowl, that felt like a very weak playoff field. Remember, they got Daniel Jones?
Yeah.
And then look, the Niners weren't weak. They just got injured at quarterback. They're going to earn it this year. If the Eagles end up in New Orleans and they have to go through some combination of, let's say, Washington, Tampa, and then, I don't know, Green Bay, Minnesota, or Detroit, that's earning it. This is going to be – it'll be a challenge.
Nice little row.
It'll be – and if they do it, boy, they've earned it. Brian is up with some thoughts on A.J. Brown here. What's up, Brian?
Hey, guys. First of all, I have to say, Hugh Douglas, you're my favorite Eagle of all time. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Wanted to talk about the A.J. Brown and Saquon thing. So here's my issue is, okay, A.J.'s complaining. He feels like my three-year-old son right now. And the reason why I feel that way is you've got Saquon, who is an MVP candidate, an incredible runner, and that's what the other teams were giving us as far as defense goes. So we ran the ball, and we did it very well. Then you've got Devontae Smith, an excellent wide receiver, who also doesn't complain. And then you have A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts having their little issue. It just bothers me, and I would want to know, hey, Devontae, Saquon, guys, how do you feel about this? Because I think deep down, you know, A.J.'s, oh, it's all for the team. No, it's all for A.J. right now. Like the second, I feel like I was in high school. The second pass was to A.J. Why? Oh, let's make him feel good. And I don't know, maybe I have some trauma from back in the T.O. days.
Yeah, you do. I'm here to tell you, you do. You do. I mean,
but he's not wrong. They threw it to him more. What do you say? They threw it to him more?
Because he needed to be involved in the passing game.
Because he complained.
And ain't nothing wrong with complaining.
here's the ironic part, Brian. Because he's a great player, these are successful plays, right? Like, it's not a bad thing that throwing him the football.
Let me put it in perspective for both of you guys to understand. Because, Brian, I assume you're married, right?
That's right, yes.
When your wife tells you, Brian, you don't take me out to dinner enough, what do?
Well, I mean, that would never happen.
No, but Brian, I...
But you would take her out to dinner.
Brian?
Of course.
That's what I'm saying. That's what he did. Basically, that's what he did. He complained about not going out to dinner, and he got rewarded.
To stick with your analogy, Hugh, if you don't mind, is, but if she complained to her girlfriends about it, I'd be annoyed. If she talked to me about it, I'd work it out.
Well, how about this, Brian?
So Elliot is her girlfriend. I like this analogy.
What about if she asked you first and you didn't do nothing about it, and then she complained to her girlfriends? Because that's kind of what happened.
Look, this is difficult because you are my favorite Eagle, but I do agree. I can't argue with you.
No, I'm just being that guy today. But it's funny because I know AJ gets a bad rap, man, but he wasn't lying. I mean, that's the part that
he wasn't. It's just a matter of how he went about it.
He went about it may not have been the right way, but in essence, it was the right way because this was something that we all needed to see to make us feel better.
And they needed it. And he needed it. Brian, good phone call. Like, they needed it. I mean, that's why the whole week happened, because AJ said it, and then Brandon Graham reacted the way he did, and then they reacted.
Sometimes you need to be aired out to see your wicked ways.
I agree with that. And that's...
He aired him out.
Sometimes you got to just tell the truth. And we all told the truth last week. And that's why...
Did we all tell the truth?
I think most of us did. Who didn't tell the truth?
I'm just saying. I was just saying. I'm just, you know.
Maybe you still trying to downplay the defense and your green
beard. I'm not downplaying anything.
Ooh.
Yeah, they're going to leave me alone about that green. Everywhere I go now, people are like, hey, getting ready. I know.
That beard is either gone or green.
No.
You are cooked.
No. People are like, hey, getting ready to dye that beard over there. And it'd be a mumbling. Hey, that's the guy that's going to dye his beard. I hear you.
Hey, that's the guy that said defense doesn't matter. It's a luxury.
Hey, Eagles fans, y'all starting to get on my nerves with that, for real.
I can't.
I know what I'm looking at. I know what my future looking like.
The math.
I know it's not looking too bright for me.
The math ain't
I don't
mathin'.
Need to be reminded
it ain't
every day.
For you. Yeah, no, it really isn't. I think what's the total? 42 points?
42.
Yeah, if the Eagles allow 42 or less in their final three games, 42 or fewer, you will either have your beard shaved or dye it. And let's be real about this. This is your last shot, Hugh, to have some.
Yeah, this week. Yeah, we were looking at it this week. Yep. I need at least 21 to 24 points this weekend from the Commodore.
Well,
I got my eye on you.
Yeah,
week.
I know.
What?
You're going to be sitting there rooting for.
Don't you dare!
I'm not rooting for. Listen, I root for the Eagles all the time, except for that one time.
You rooted for the Cowboys to score.
If you allow me to talk about it, I was going to say when they were right there on the three. Who doesn't, like, in a situation like that, who doesn't root
for that? This is sad. This is really sad.
But after that, I got over it.
So the Eagles have not allowed a team over 20 since September. You're in big trouble. Yeah. And then the last week of the season, they get, I mean, the Giants might have a tryout with a fan playing quarterback at that point. I mean, they're not scoring anything in that last game here if the Eagles try. So you're in big trouble.
Okay, my question to you is this. When does this have to happen, like, technically? When do I have to, like, you know, make good on the whatever it is?
I think so. The season ends what? Like the 7th of January, whatever it is, or whatever that date is. I think by the time the playoffs kick off, right, that next weekend. So you get that last week.
You get that last week of the beard.
You get
so Friday, like on a Friday.
Yeah, you get like Sirianni when he shaved his head. You got to dye your beard and shave the beard.
Yeah,
that's it for you. All right, 215-592-9494. For more of your phone calls coming up, we'll take you inside the locker room post game and a big Hugh breakdown on what was one of the stranger moments from the game yesterday. Jalen Carter, Coach Hurt, Nick Sirianni, a penalty that probably should have been called. We'll get into it all. 215-592-9494 as we react to a dominant Eagles victory. Jalen Hurts drove the car, played his best game of the season. We'll talk about it next on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We're talking about tough, detailed together, right? That's a team. That's a team, all right? How long was it, Bob?
10:30.
10 minutes and 30 seconds on a 4 minute by the ball. Yes, sir. Hey, you want us to run it? We can run it.
Yeah.
You want us to pass it? How about that pass?
Yeah!
Defense, stopping them on short fields was incredible. You guys played your ass off as a group, together. Awesome job, defense. Remember, right? That was a tough win against a tough team. Hungry, humble. All right, it's more than just this. It's more than getting this win. We just want to keep getting better, hungry and humble. We got a lot to be thankful for.
We're working. We're getting to work on Monday.
Somebody wasn't being humble, though.
Humble? Who needs to be humble? Ten straight wins?
Be arrogant in that situation.
Yeah, enjoy. I like that. Sirianni post-game in the locker room.
That was awesome.
You are right. Everything with the Rocky music sounds better. Like, that was a good locker room speech anyway. But you put the Rocky music under and, like, takes it up, like, five levels
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it does. It really does.
That was great. 215-592-9494. Back to your phone calls in just a couple minutes here. Howard's going to join us at 12. By the way, I rip him when he needs to be ripped, and I say when he's wrong a lot, when he is. Howard may have, like, nailed the prediction yesterday. His prediction on the pregame show, I think he said they'll hold the Steelers under 20. He said in the teens. And he said the Eagles would score 24-27. I mean, Howard was spot on
with that one.
Worth pointing out. I also predicted a 10-plus point victory.
So just throwing flowers everybody today? Well, Jalen, I mean, Howard.
Might as well. We give out participation trophies all the time.
Participation? So no. These are real. These
you were the one. You were the one talking about an acceptable loss on Friday.
It would have been. We'd have still been a great. You know what made this win even better?
Nope.
Was the fact that Detroit lost.
Well, of course.
They got jumped on like at the beginning of the game, like a bunch of little crickets jumped on them.
Why we were trying to tell you, Friday, this was a must win. I mean, everything that was said on the station last week was spot on. I mean, it was Sirianni had to figure it out. He did. Jalen had to play better. He did. Must win. They won. Like, everything said was right.
It was a must win because if it wasn't, people would have been in their feelings about what this team was. Oh, my God, we're about to go down that slippery slope.
Absolutely. Again. Total must win. All right, let's get to one of the moments of the game. We're going to do a little Big Q breakdown here. In a moment that turned out to be something we could laugh about now, but there's a lot of elements here, including what felt like a missed call from the refs. All right, Hugh, what did you see? First, let's go into the play, and then we'll get to what happened on the sideline.
The punt, right?
The punt with Jalen Carter on the punt delivered a little bit of a head slap there. Now,
what do you mean a head? A little bit of a head slap.
A big
slap. He what they call slap smoke out of somebody. Oh, yeah, and by the way, I forgot to put this out there, but Jalen showed his ass yesterday. It took me a while.
Jalen Hurts or Carter?
Jalen, both of them.
They both showed their ass.
But see, that was perfect timing because there were two different sides of showing your ass.
Here we go.
Jalen Hurts showed his ass in the passing game.
He showed his whole ass.
He showed his whole entire ass. Jalen Carter showed his ass when he slapped dude across the helmet.
Okay, so first of all, and then I want your take on what you saw. The refs missed that. That should have been a penalty, which would have given
Big
the Steelers
the fresh set of downs.
Right, so that punt never happens, and the last drive the way it did never happens. I still think the Eagles win. I don't think the Steelers score 14-0 for the Eagles.
It makes it a little bit more interesting.
Oh, yeah, of course it does. All right, Hugh, what did you think about what he did, and then take us into the sideline situation with Clint Hurt?
Jalen Carter, over the last couple of weeks, like, I think that's a part of who he is as a player. That's a part of his psyche as far as being a dominant defender. That's part of him. But you have to be able to control that to a certain extent.
Yeah.
You have to. And I think, you know, he needs to understand the situation. And I'm pretty sure he's remorseful about the way that he acted this morning. But, man, in the heat of the battle, like, this is the thing that I remember. Who was to tell me about this about him? One of the guys that Rusty Manziel, that's his name. Rusty used to tell me that when Jalen was in school, Jalen was the type of guy that he wouldn't practice hard all the time, but if you made him mad, he would go through that whole offensive line like a hot knife through butter because nobody could block him. And I think yesterday was one of those moments. We've seen times where, during this course of the season, where when Jalen Carter gets mad, he's unstoppable. And they have to do a great job of reining him in. I think that's what happened yesterday. Came to the sideline. Big Hurt had already probably reamed him out, probably yelled and screamed at him already. Coach Sirianni didn't get his chance. He didn't get his pound of flesh. And I feel like that's what Coach Hurt was basically telling Coach. Hey, man, I already did. I took care of it. Let it go. Because at that point, like, Jalen's a pit bull off a leash. And I don't think he would do nothing to Coach Sirianni, but I ain't willing to take that chance to find out if that's the case. Like, you need not to be running up on folks, not in this day and age, yelling and screaming at them after they've already been yelled and screamed at.
What? So is that typical, the way you described it? Like, all right, the player makes a mistake, he does something dumb. The position coach kind of screams at him and then tells the head coach, I took care of it? Is that the normal thing?
Normally, it's or the D coordinator.
Right, right.
Like,
but
Vic was on the field,
upstairs,
if Vic's on the field, he'll probably say something to Jalen. But I think at that point, Coach Hurt would just say, hey, man, it's a little bit overkill. And again, you saw Big Dom over there. Like, I think Coach Sirianni got caught in a moment where he damn near got Sprewell. And it would have not been a good deal. It would have not been a good thing if that had been the case.
Well, it would have changed the conversation.
It would have definitely changed the conversation.
Yeah, this is a nice, fun morning would have changed.
Certain cats, you just, like, they ain't wrapped too tight. And you just don't want to roll up on them like that. Not in that heat of the moment trying to make a point after a point has already been made.
And if I'm being told no by Clint Hurt, I'm going to accept that no.
Well, yeah, because, you know, like, there's a lot of massive man between, like, when you look at, think about it like this. You got Big Dom over there trying to, you know, calm him down. You got Big Hurt over there. And then you got little Coach Sirianni yelling and screaming at, and Jalen sitting back there like, dog. Like, I'm. This is me speculating. I don't know if this is the case. But Jay, look at him like, dog, don't roll up on me. He looking like, dog, don't roll up on me. It's already been taken care of. I'm glad it happened the way that it did.
So, he's a great player, and he's gotten so much better this year than he was last year and more consistent. I am glad, whether it's Sirianni or Clint Hurt, that they're trying to keep him in check, because I don't want him to lose that, like...
That edge.
Edge. But also, that was a dumb play yesterday.
Yeah,
and if he does it again, they're going to knock him for 15 yards.
Yeah, he needs to control that a little bit. And listen, guys like that, you have to know how to deal with them. And all that, sometimes all that yelling and extra screaming and calling for, that's uncalled for, because you might make it bad for yourself in a situation like that.
When he entered the draft 2 years ago, there were a lot of comparisons to Sue, right? And I see it more and more. He plays with an edge.
And Domokun Sue was he stepping on people's mommy daddy parts.
He did it to he stepped on Roger's calf back in the day. But he played with that edge, and it helped make him a truly great player. Let's hear from Sirianni yesterday after the game. It was mostly just fun and giggles yesterday after the game at how great they played. But this one was interesting. What about the incident with Jalen Carter? Here's Sirianni.
There's a spirited conversation between you and Jalen Carter during the fourth quarter. Like, what transpired?
I'll never get into the conversations I have with players, but he made a play that is not part of our standard. And so, you know, my job is to correct that, and regardless of what it is, we're gonna correct the things that we need to do better and praise the things we need to do well. And so, you know, in that moment, that's what that was. I love Jalen Carter. I love what he brings to this football team. Right there, he needs to be smarter in that situation, because it could have gave him the ball back. It didn't give him the ball back, but it could have. And so we're going to need to get better from that. And so that's what you do as a coach. And again, he played a good game, and I watched the game to see, you know, how good of a game he played. But we need him to be better in that scenario and be the consistent player that he's been for the entire year.
I agree with Sirianni. I mean, he's right. I mean, he's great. He played great, played well, but he's got to be smarter than that.
Yeah, he does. I mean, but at this and another thing, you probably don't need to be rolling up on him, yelling, screaming at
him. Do you think there's a different way to handle that?
Yeah.
Like he's got to correct it, but in the middle of the game like that?
You know who, like, here's the thing. You know who you have on the team. This ain't his first rodeo. And we've seen a back and forth with Jalen Carter and Coach Sirianni this year. This ain't the first time they've had a few back and forth.
What was that, in the New Orleans game, I think it was?
Yeah. Coach Hurt feels like he's doing a good job thus far, for the most part, of handling that. You know, and that's where you probably need to leave it. You know, it's one thing to say, hey, man, we need you, bro. You can't do that. And allow him the minute to workshop it. I think a lot of times Coach Sirianni is emotional. And some people, you can't yell and scream at everybody, especially this day and age. And your energy, especially in the heat of the moment like that, I don't know how that would be received from a guy like Jalen Carter. I don't know how he's going to receive that.
Well, that's why Clint Hurt got in the way.
Yeah, and that's why you need to coach the collective, but you also need to coach individually as well. And I don't think in that moment that, and I'm not blaming coach. Don't get me wrong about what I'm saying, but you need to know who you're dealing with in certain situations.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think we all agree with that Sirianni needs to say something, and I agreed with the way he said after the game, like, hey, we can't have that. It's not their standard, but you got to pick your moment and how you address it and when you address it.
And let your coaches coach, because right. He said that. He said he allows his coaches to coach. So if Big Hurt coached it up or coached it, said something about it, then let it go.
Yep. All right, let's go to Jay in West Philly, who's up. Hey, Jay.
What's up, Mr. Shanahan? How you feel?
What's up, Jay? What's going on, buddy?
Hey, Hugh.
Yo.
Talk to me about these defensive ends, man. About Jalen Hunt and Nolan Smith, man. They looking all right.
No, hey, I tell you what. I was looking at the numbers, man. Nolan Smith got 5.5 sacks on the season. And who was it? Sweaty got 8.
Yeah.
That's not bad, dog. That's not bad from a front that we were talking about early on. Didn't look like they were doing a whole lot.
And Smith got their most snaps yesterday, too. I mean, that's a big jump, Jay. He didn't get that many snaps earlier, so he's playing great.
And Hugh, how about Jalen Hunt?
I like what I see from him, too. You know, like, he's been playing well. He got 1.5 sacks on the season. Got 2 forced fumbles. Mm-hmm. Eight tackles.
He was walking off the field talking trash.
They look like they got a nice little group together, man. They got a nice little group.
Look, this team going to be set up. You see how, Quentin Mitchell, he don't say much. But you see when they was messing with Slay,
he went right over. I love that,
Jay. I don't know how I felt about that, though, because it's like the old man lead the young buck to come on in.
No, I love that.
And get the big dog up off of him.
Get your hands off the old head, man.
I don't know. If that happened to me, I would feel some kind of...
If the youngins had to come help you?
You know who would have helped you back in the day.
Hey, I know. That's what I'm saying. The youngins had to get the youngins to come help me. My pride would take a little bit of a hit, but I would appreciate it.
Hey, look, that's a different animal that was right there.
Listen, man, that's a big ass. Was it tight end?
Yeah, it was Washington.
Big ass tight end, man. He from Georgia too, isn't he? Yeah, it's a tight end from Georgia.
Exactly.
Well, them Georgia kids don't know how to act during the course.
Exactly, man. Look, you got to get Taylor Carter out there. Look, you see, he calmed down after that.
Yeah, it was a little
look,
calm.
Carter got out there.
What you doing? Look. Let that old man go. Let that old man go.
Well, look, them D-guns and their defense looking sharp, man. We going to be good. We going to be in good shape.
Well, and they could be, Jay, for years to come. I mean, it's the youngest defense in the NFL. Jay, it's a good phone call. I mean, like, we're excited for now, and in the now, they look like they have a real chance to win the Super Bowl. But this is the youngest defense in the NFL.
And they got another, they're playing well now. Just think what they're going to look like next year.
I mean, I know we could be headed for the greatest run of defense we've had around here in a long time. I mean, this defense, that defense, the luxury take is going to, it's
all started because AJ Stark crying. Let y'all tell it.
Why the defense is playing well. They've been good for months.
I'm just saying.
I like when you say they're playing well. It's almost like it's like the most you could muster. They're playing football.
I am giving the defense their props. You know what it is? It's almost like, this is where it tends to get me. And I love all y'all, but boy, y'all like to tend to remind me every time y'all see me about how, remind me of how long my take lasted before y'all started talking about how
it lasted 2 years.
My take lasted two years.
Dead on arrival.
From the time I got here till now.
No.
So give me my props.
No. What are you talking about?
I know y'all not, but it's cool. And it just bothers me a little bit that every time y'all see me, now that's the first, hey, Hugh, beard looking like it's about to be green or whatever. I don't need to hear that on a daily basis.
But isn't that what our listeners do?
I don't need you to yell across the street, hey, beard about to be green. I don't need that. I hear you. I know. I think about it every day. I don't need a reminder. Thank you very much. All at the tailgate. Hey, what you going to do about the Hey, dog, I got you. I know. I see the standings.
You're going to look ridiculous.
Oh, it's going to be so great.
No, see, y'all making me to the point. I might just cut off because I don't want to give y'all the satisfaction.
Well, maybe we do a half green. What about half cut off, half green? That'll
see,
look
at you. Now you're changing the ramifications of the deal. No, because I already know.
running around and saying, oh, we lost the bet. I don't need to hear that. Mm-hmm. I don't need to be reminded. I'm the one running around with the green beard. Yeah, I don't need that. I don't need that.
You have to credit Hugh Douglas.
Hey, that was perfect timing.
I'm starting to get hostile because the reality of this might.
Can you feel it? Can you feel it?
I'm mad.
I can feel you coming to grips with this.
Now I'm mad at everybody.
It's your own fault. It's your take.
I hate all y'all.
Oh, it's so good.
It's like the Eagles being mad at us for the drama that they started.
That's exactly what it is.
That's exactly where I am. That's where I am today.
Fake news, because, WIP. Fake news, Douglas over here.
Walking around, hey, beer. What you going to do? None of your business. How about that? Stop asking.
People are just excited because
they are.
Do you know what it is? People love to remind us of when we're wrong.
Yes, they do.
And we're wrong once a day, or more than that. So they have a lot to talk about. It's great.
Chuck, now I'm in my feelings.
Yeah, you are. And you got to get over it. Chuck and Manary, what's up, Chuck?
Yo, Jillio, what's the dealio here?
Hey, Chuck.
What's going on, man?
Hey, listen, man. Snoop Dogg, Stephen A. Smith. All you Steelers fans out there, we just wiped our ass with your terrible towel and your six rings.
Ooh,
now you go
graphic.
Back to the steel plant where you work at in Pittsburgh and eat your Heinz ketchup because we run Pennsylvania over here, all right? And that's just the bottom line, all right? So no battle for nothing. Now we're about to go down south 95 to Washington, you know what I mean, and beat them to a near-death experience because this is what we do. We whip everybody that comes in front of us. You know what I mean? We got one goal, and that's to win a championship. And everybody that's standing our way is getting boots to asses. Simple as that. You know what I mean? Our quarterback is dialed in. The running back is, you know what he does. You know what I mean? Our A.J. Brown is a monster. And I'm going to tell you about Slay, right? See, this is the thing about Slay, right? Quinyon came over there, and I was taught like this. If you don't defend yourself and fight for yourself, ain't nobody else going to fight for you. So when Quinyon seen Slay throw that punch, he said, you know what, it's on and popping. And now I can go over there and defend the old head. So, you know, this thing right here is about to get popping. You know what I mean? Get on the bus, you know, get the seat arrangement ready, Joe Gilio, and, you know, have the liquor and everything ready. And let's take this trip down to New Orleans.
Who said we don't have liquor on this bus?
We got to have liquor. We got to have all
Oh, of course we're going to have liquor, Hugh. Come on now.
I see what I was talking about now. He talking about waivers. Nah, see, we really going to have to get some waivers.
Yeah, we bringing everything, man. This thing about to get popping, man. Because I tell you right now, ain't nobody stopping the Eagles but the Eagles. I hope and pray that we get Kansas City because we got unfinished business against them. This defense is the best defense in football. And I tell you, you know when Patrick Mahomes last lost the Super Bowl? Is when he put up against a defense like Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. This reminds me of Tampa Bay's defense that year. And I tell you, if we got to play them, I don't care who we play, Josh Allen, any of them, but we got to play them, we got something for that ass this year. Believe that. So E-A-G-L-E-S, go Birds, Washington, you're up next.
Love it, Chuck. Good phone call. I mean, Chuck's right. I mean, this bus ride's going to be a wild
It's going to be a phenomenal bus ride,
Where
Joe.
Do you want to sit? I got to put your name first. What do you want to sit? You want near the front, more, back, middle, more, window?
The more this bus ride becomes a real thing, the more I want to sit on a plane, Joe.
No. Stop now. You know you're on that bus.
The more I want to sit on the plane.
You're on the bus. The question is, where do you want to sit? That's all. You think about
well,
that.
I
got
saying,
a whole chart.
I'll probably sit at the back.
Back?
You know.
You want a window? Middle? Middle doesn't seem like you.
Yeah,
no.
I just want to sit in the back.
Okay, back of the bus for Hugh Douglas. All right, let's go to Jordan and Princeton. What's up, Jordan?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, Jordan. What's up?
Nice day after an Eagles win, and
it's
because
great.
It was such a dominating win, I think it's fair that we have this discussion about the media's role in the controversy that played out through the team last week.
Okay.
And without editorializing first, I'd like to know if it is possible that the Philadelphia sports media, which is very invested in and very interested in the success of our teams, perhaps did not have the best interest in mind when they took this story and played it up to the extent that they did. And let's leave Brandon Graham out of it for a second. But picking up on the three words that A.J. Brown said in a post-game interview where I think the tone of his statement was interpreted, not the words themselves, do you think that the Philadelphia sports media potentially acted slightly irresponsibly in trying to make an issue where maybe there wasn't?
No. Jordan, is it the media's job to help the team win or to talk about the biggest story?
Do we want to see our team win?
Sure,
but
that's two different things. So the story is the story, and then the media talks about the biggest story that appeals to the most people. That's the job. Do we all want the Eagles to win? I mean, look, there's different realms, right? The people that cover the team are more unbiased. I'd say here at WIP, we're all fans. Some of us are obviously ex-players and bleed green, but we're all fans. We all want the team to win, yes. But like that was the story last week, Jordan. They made it the story. Brandon Graham did his own radio show and said what he said. I mean, that wasn't like picked apart. It was his words.
No, and you know, the Brandon Graham, I think, then begets a second question. And I think this might be the brilliance of BG because, I mean, you guys have him on a lot. And, you know, I think he's got a future in commentary. I think he's got a future beyond the game.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that he saw an issue being pushed by the media, and rather than let that story take its course, he spoke out of turn, knowing exactly what he was doing, because as a leader on the team and as an intelligent man, he saw that as a potential resolution before it continued to spiral out of control.
I agree. I thought that immediately. I think he did it on purpose, and it worked. I mean, if his goal was to get those guys to talk and kind of air things out and move it forward, I think it was achieved, because that seems like what they did this past week. I don't think it was by accident. I think he did it on purpose last week, Jordan. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, I do as well, and I give him a lot of credit for showing leadership despite being injured and potentially playing his last snaps ever as an Eagle. It just shows incredible maturity and love for the team that's been good to him.
Yeah, there's go ahead.
I think in summary, it was a very interesting story because we have had times of controversy in the Eagles where it was very clear. I mean, you can go back to Terrell Owens. There's many instances of real speaking out of turn. I believe that AJ was frustrated with the situation, not with any particular individual. I'd like to believe that we could have let that story blow past, but I just am very proud that we have a guy like Brandon Graham still working hard to keep this team together, using the position he has as a growing media personality in Philadelphia.
Well, it is a unique,
you know, to help
Jordan,
Nick Sirianni manage.
And good phone call. It is a unique thing, right? It's kind of the, you have an issue, a quote, a line, and then we have an active player. I know he's injured, but an active player with his own show to pontificate like he did last week, and then it led to everything. You good over there?
No, I just find it fascinating. I'm not mad at anybody, but I sat here and told everybody how this thing went down. But in our minds, we have spun this story in a way where because we got the big win. I just find it amazing that
we spun it like a top.
We spun this story to that Brandon did this on purpose to light a fire.
I agree.
And I told y'all immediately after he did it, he sat there and asked, did he do too much? So that doesn't sound like a guy to me that put a whole lot of thought in what he was saying.
No, but sometimes you yell and scream and then you ask someone immediately after, did I go too far?
Doesn't mean
the message wasn't the right message.
No.
Yes.
This means that we have spun. Like, it did to get mad at the media for spinning the story. Hell, you just got on the radio and spun the story.
This was all
Big
the Eagles.
Dreamweaver. Can I hear that? Dreamweaver? Because that's what we're doing.
We'll do that.
We're weaving dreams.
Yeah, 215-592-9494.
I'm okay with it, though, but y'all ridiculous today.
No, I think everything's spot on. All right, Howard, I think WIP deserves credit for the win. I mean, that's what I think. WIP's own Howard Eskin, he joins us next.
Howard.
He nailed exactly how the game would go. We'll talk to him and then back to the phones right here in the midday show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
talking about tough detail together, right? That's a team. That's a team. All right? How long was it, Bob?
10:30.
10 minutes and 30 seconds on a 4 minute by the way. Yes, sir. Hey, hey, you want us to run it? We can run it.
Yeah.
You want us to pass it? How about that pass?
Yeah.
Defense stopping them in short and on short fields was incredible. You guys played your ass off as a group together. Awesome job, defense. Remember, right? That was a tough win against a tough team. Hungry, humble. All right, it's more than just this. It's more than getting this win. We just want to keep getting better. Hungry and humble. We got a lot to be thankful for.
We're working.
We're getting to work on Monday.
Somebody wasn't being humble, though.
Humble? Who needs to be humble? Ten straight wins?
Be arrogant in that situation.
Yeah, enjoy. I like that. Sirianni post-game in the locker room.
That was awesome.
You are right. Everything with the Rocky music sounds better. Like, that was a good locker room speech anyway. But you put the Rocky music under it and, like, takes it up, like, five levels
there.
Yeah,
it does. It really
was great. 215-592-9494. Back to your phone calls in just a couple minutes here. Howard's going to join us at 12. By the way, I rip him when he needs to be ripped, and I say when he's wrong a lot, when he is. Howard may have, like, nailed the prediction yesterday. His prediction on the pregame show, I think he said they'll hold the Steelers under 20. He said in the teens. And he said the Eagles would score 24-27. I mean, Howard was spot on.
With that one.
Worth pointing out. I also predicted a 10-plus point victory.
So just throwing flowers everybody today? Well, Jalen, I mean, Howard.
Might as well. We give out participation trophies all the time.
Participation? So no. These are real.
You were the one talking about an acceptable loss on Friday.
It would have been. We would have still been great. You know what would have made this win even better?
Nope.
Was the fact that Detroit lost.
Well, of course.
They got jumped on like at the beginning of the game, like a bunch of little crickets jumped on them.
Yeah, that's why we were trying to tell you, Friday, this was a must win. I mean, everything that was said on the station last week was spot on. I mean, it was Sirianni had to figure it out. He did. Jalen had to play better. He did. Must win. They won. Everything said was right.
It was a must win because if it wasn't, people would have been in their feelings about what this team was. Oh, my God, we're about to go down that slippery slope.
Absolutely. Again. Total must win. All right, let's get to one of the moments of the game. We're going to do a little Big Hugh breakdown here. In a moment that turned out to be something we could laugh about now, but there's a lot of elements here, including what felt like a missed call from the refs. All right, Hugh, what did you see? First, let's go into the play, and then we'll get to what happened on the sideline.
The punt, right?
The punt with Jalen Carter on the punt delivered a little bit of a head slap there. Now,
what do you mean a head? A little bit of a head slap. He what they call slap smoke out of somebody. Oh, yeah, by the way, I forgot to put this out there, but Jalen showed his ass yesterday. It took me a while.
Jalen Hurts or Carter?
Jalen, both of them.
They both showed their ass.
But see, that was perfect timing because there were two different sides of showing your ass.
Here we go.
Jalen Hurts showed his ass in the passing game.
He showed his whole ass.
He showed his whole entire ass. Jalen Carter showed his ass when he slapped dude across the helmet.
Okay, so first of all, and then I want your take on what you saw. The refs missed that. That should have been a penalty, which would have given
Big
the Steelers
another fresh set of downs.
Right, so that punt never happens, and the last drive the way it did never happens. I still think the Eagles win. I don't think the Steelers score 14-4-0 for the Eagles.
It makes a little more interesting.
Oh, yeah, of course it does. All right, Hugh, what did you think about what he did, and then take us into the sideline situation with Clint Hurt?
Jalen Carter, over the last couple of weeks, like, I think that's a part of who he is as a player. That's a part of his psyche as far as being a dominant defender. That's part of him. But you have to be able to control that to a certain extent.
Yeah.
You have to. And I think, you know, he needs to understand the situation. And I'm pretty sure he's remorseful about the way that he acted this morning. But, man, in the heat of the battle, like, this is the thing that I remember. Who used to tell me about him? One of the guys that Rusty Manziel, that's his name. Rusty used to tell me that when Jalen was in school, Jalen was the type of guy that he wouldn't practice hard all the time, but if you made him mad, he would go through that whole offensive line like a hot knife through butter because nobody could block him. And I think yesterday was one of those moments. We've seen times where, during this course of the season, where when Jalen Carter gets mad, he's unstoppable. And they have to do a great job of reining him in. I think that's what happened yesterday. Came to the sideline. Big Hurt had already probably reamed him out, probably yelled and screamed at him already. Coach Sirianni didn't get his chance. He didn't get his pound of flesh. And I feel like that's what Coach Hurt was basically telling Coach. Hey, man, I already did. I took care of it. Let it go. Because at that point, like, Jalen's a pit bull off a leash. And I don't think he would do nothing to Coach Sirianni, but I ain't willing to take that chance to find out if that's the case. Like, you need not to be running up on folks, not in this day and age, yelling and screaming at them after they've already been yelled and screamed at.
What? So is that typical, the way you described it? Like, all right, the player makes a mistake, he does something dumb. The position coach kind of screams at him and then tells the head coach, I took care of it? Is that a normal
more
thing?
More normally, it's or the D coordinator.
Right, right.
Like,
but
Vic was on
Fangio's
the field.
Upstairs,
if Vic's on the field, he'll probably say something to Jalen. But I think at that point, Coach Hurt would just say, hey, man, it's a little bit overkill. And again, you saw Big Dom over there. Like, I think Coach Sirianni got caught in a moment where he damn near got Sprewell. And it would have not been a good deal. It would have not been a good thing if that had been the case.
Well, it would have changed the conversation.
It would have definitely changed the conversation.
Yeah, this is nice, fun morning would have changed.
Certain cats, you just, like, they ain't wrapped too tight. And you just don't want to roll up on them like that. Not in that heat of the moment trying to make a point after a point has already been made.
And if I'm being told no by Clint Hurt, I'm going to accept that no.
Well, yeah, because, you know, like, there's a lot of massive man between, like, when you look at it, think about it like this. You got Big Dom over there trying to, you know, calm him down. You got Big Hurt over there. And then you got little Coach Sirianni yelling and screaming at, and Jalen sitting back there like, dog. Like, I'm. This is me speculating. I don't know if this is the case. But Jalen, look at him like, dog, don't roll up on me. He looking like, dog, don't roll up on me. It's already been taken care of. I'm glad it happened the way that it did.
So, he's a great player, and he's gotten so much better this year than he was last year and more consistent. I am glad, whether it's Sirianni or Clint Hurt, that they're trying to keep him in check, because I don't want him to lose that, like...
That edge.
Edge. But also, that was a dumb play yesterday.
Yeah,
and if he does it again, they're going to knock him for 15 yards.
Yeah, he needs to control that a little bit. And listen, guys like that, you have to know how to deal with them. And all that, sometimes all that yelling and extra screaming and calling for... That's uncalled for, because you might make it bad for yourself in a situation like that.
When he entered the draft 2 years ago, there were a lot of comparisons to Sue, right? And I see it more and more. He plays with an edge.
And Dominican Sue was there. He stepping on people's mommy daddy parts.
He stepped on Roger's calf back in the day. But he played with that edge, and it helped make him a truly great player. Let's hear from Sirianni yesterday after the game. It was mostly just fun and giggles yesterday after the game at how great they played. But this one was interesting. What about the incident with Jalen Carter? Here's Sirianni.
There's a spirited conversation between you and Jalen Carter during the Florida play. What transpired?
I'll never get into the conversations I have with players, but he made a play that is not part of our standard. And so, you know, my job is to correct that, and regardless of what it is, we're gonna correct the things that we need to do better, and praise the things we need to do well. And so, you know, in that moment, that's what that was. I love Jalen Carter. I love what he brings to this football team. Right there, he needs to be smarter in that situation, because it could have gave him the ball back. It didn't give him the ball back, but it could have. And so we're going to need to get better from that. And so that's what you do as a coach. And again, he played a good game, and I'll watch the game to see, you know, how good of a game he played. But we need him to be better in that scenario and be the consistent player that he's been for the entire year.
I agree with Sirianni. I mean, he's right. I mean, he's great. He played great, played well, but he's got to be smarter than that.
Yeah, he does. I mean, but at this and another day, you probably don't need to be rolling up on him, yelling and screaming at
him. Do you think there's a different way to handle that?
Yeah.
Like he's got to correct it, but in the middle of the game like that?
You know who, like, here's the thing. You know who you have on the team. This ain't his first rodeo. And we've seen a back and forth with Jalen Carter and Coach Sirianni this year. This ain't the first time they've had a few back and forth.
What was that, in the New Orleans game, I think it was?
Yeah. Coach Hurt feels like he's doing a good job thus far, for the most part, of handling that. You know, and that's where you probably need to leave it. You know, it's one thing to say, hey, man, we need you, bro. You can't do that. And allow him the minute to workshop it. I think a lot of times Coach Sirianni is emotional. And some people, you can't yell and scream at everybody, especially this day and age. And your energy, especially in the heat of the moment like that, I don't know how that would be received from a guy like Jalen Carter. I don't know how he's going to receive that.
Well, that's why Clint Hurt got in the way.
Yeah, and that's why you need to coach the collective, but you also need to coach individually as well. And I don't think in that moment that, and I'm not blaming coach. Don't get me wrong about what I'm saying, but you need to know who you're dealing with in certain situations.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think we all agree with that Sirianni needs to say something, and I agreed with the way he said after the game, like, hey, we can't have that. It's not their standard, but you got to pick your moment and how you address it and when you address it.
And let your coaches coach, because right. He said that. He said he allows his coaches to coach. So if Big Hurt coached it up or coached it, said something about it, then let it go.
Yep. All right, let's go to Jay in West Philly, who's up. Hey, Jay.
What's up, Mr. Shanahan? How you feel?
What's up, Jay? What's going on, buddy?
Hey, Hugh.
Yo.
Talk to me about these defensive ends, man. About Jalen Hunt and Nolan Smith, man. They looking all right.
I tell you what. I was looking at their numbers, man. Nolan Smith got 5.5 sacks on the season. And who is it? Sweaty got 8.
Yeah.
That's not bad, dog. That's not bad from a front that we were talking about early on. Didn't look like they were doing a whole lot.
And Smith got their most snaps yesterday, too. I mean, that's a big jump, Jay. He didn't get that many snaps earlier, so he's playing great.
And, Hugh, how about Jalen Hunt?
I like what I see from him, too. You know, like, he's been playing well. He got 1.5 sacks on the season. Got 2 forced fumbles.
Mm-hmm.
Eight tackles.
He got a little ass to him, too. He was off the field talking trash.
They look like they got a nice little group together, man. They got a nice little group.
Look, this team's going to be set up. You see how, look, Quentin Mitchell, he don't say much, but you see when they was messing with Slay,
he went right over. I love that,
I don't know how I felt about that, though, because it's like the old man lead the young buck to come on in.
No, I love that.
Hey, look. And get the big dog up off of him.
Get your hands off the old head, man.
I don't know. If that happened to me, I would feel some kind of...
If the youngins had to come help you?
Hey, look, you know who would have helped you back in the day.
Hey, I know. That's what I'm saying. The youngins had to get the youngins to come help me. My pride would take a little bit of a hit, but I would appreciate it.
Hey, look, that's a different animal that was right there.
Listen, man, that's a big ass. Was it tight end?
Yeah, it was Washington.
Big ass tight end, man. He from Georgia, too, isn't he? Yeah, that's a tight end from Georgia.
Exactly.
Well, Georgia kids don't know how to act during the course.
Exactly, man. Look, you got to get Taylor Carter out there. Look, you see he calmed down after that.
Yeah, it was a little calm.
Look, Carter got out there.
Hey, what you doing? Look. Let that old man go. Let that old man go.
Well, look, them D-guns and their defense looking sharp, man. We going to be good. We going to be in good shape.
Well, and they could be, Jay, for years to come. I mean, it's the youngest defense in the NFL. Jay, it's a good phone call. I mean, like... We're excited for now, and in the now, they look like they have a real chance to win the Super Bowl. But this is the youngest defense in the NFL.
And they got another – like, they're playing well now. Just think what they're going to look like next year.
I know. We could be headed for the greatest run of defense we've had around here in a long time. I mean, this defense – I mean, boy, that defense, the luxury take, is going to – it's
all started because A.J. Stark crying, let y'all tell it.
That's what. Yeah, but that's not good. Why the defense is playing, playing well. Playing they, well. They've been good for months.
I'm just saying.
I like when you say they're playing well. It's almost like it's like the most you could muster. They're playing football.
Listen, I am giving the defense their props. You know what it is? It's almost like this is where it tends to get me. And I love all y'all, but boy, y'all like to tend to remind me every time y'all see me about how. Like, remind me of how long my take lasted before y'all started talking about how
it lasted 2 years.
My take lasted two years.
Dead on arrival.
From the time I got here till now.
No.
So give me my props.
No. What are you talking about?
I know y'all not, but it's cool. And it just bothers me a little bit that every time y'all see me, now that's first, hey, Hugh, beard looking like it's about to be green or whatever. I don't need to hear that on a daily basis.
But isn't that what our listeners do?
I don't need you to yell across the street, hey, beard about to be green. I don't need that. I hear you. I know. I think about it every day. I don't need a reminder. Thank you very much. All at the tailgate. What you gonna do about the Hey, dog, I got you. I know. I see the standings.
You're gonna look ridiculous.
Oh, it's gonna be so great.
No, see, y'all making me to the point. I might just cut off because I don't want to give y'all the satisfaction.
Well, maybe we do a half green. What about half cut off, half green? That'll
see,
look
at you. Now you're changing the ramifications of the deal. No, because I already know.
run around and say, oh, we lost the bet. I don't need to hear that. Mm-hmm. I don't need to be reminded. I'm the one running around with the green beard. Yeah, I don't need that. I don't need that.
You have to credit Hugh Douglas.
Hey, that was perfect timing.
I'm starting to get hostile because the reality of this might.
Oh,
this,
it's that, this can happened. You feel it? Can you feel hey, it's
now
I can feel you coming to grips with this.
Now I'm mad at everybody.
It's your own fault. It's your take.
I hate all y'all.
Oh, it's so good.
It's like the Eagles being mad at us for the drama that they
that's
started.
That's exactly what it is.
That's exactly where I am. That's where I am today.
Fake news, because, WIP. Fake news, Douglas down, over here.
Walking around, hey, beer. What you gonna do? None of your business. How about that? Stop asking.
People are just excited because they
yes, they are.
Do you know what it is? People love to remind us of when we're wrong.
Yes, they do.
And we're wrong once a day, hey. So or more than that. So they have a lot to talk about. It's great.
Chuck, now I'm in my feelings.
Yeah, you are. And you got to get over it. Chuck and Matt Murray, what's up, Chuck?
Yo, Jillio, what's the dealio here?
Hey, Chuck.
What's going on, man?
Hey, listen, man. Snoop Dogg, Stephen A. Smith. All you Steelers fans out there, we just wiped our ass with your terrible towel and your six rings. Now you go back to the steel plant where you work at in Pittsburgh and eat your Heinz ketchup because we run Pennsylvania over here, all right? And that's just the bottom line, all right? So no battle for nothing. Now we're about to go down South 95 to Washington, you know what I mean, and beat them to a near-death experience because this is what we do. We whip everybody that comes in front of us. You know what I mean? We got one goal, and that's to win a championship. And everybody that's standing in our way is getting boots to asses. Simple as that. You know what I mean? Our quarterback is dialed in. The running back is, you know what he does. You know what I mean? Our A.J. Brown is a monster. And I'm going to tell you about Slay, right? See, this is the thing about Slay, right? Quinyon came over there, and I was taught like this. If you don't defend yourself and fight for yourself, ain't nobody else going to fight for you. So when Quinyon seen Slay throw that punch, he said, you know what, it's on and popping, and now I can go over there and defend the old head. So, you know, this thing right here is about to get popped. You know what I mean? Get on the bus, you know, get the seat arrangement ready, Joe Gilio, and, you know, have the liquor and everything ready, and let's take this trip down to New Orleans.
Who said we don't have liquor on this bus?
We got to have liquor. We got to have all
Oh, of course we're going to have liquor, Hugh. Come on now.
I see what I was talking about now. He talking about waivers. Nah, see, we really going to have to get some waivers.
Yeah, we bringing everything, man. This thing about to get popping, man. Because I tell you right now, ain't nobody stopping the Eagles but the Eagles. I hope and pray that we get Kansas City because we got unfinished business against them. This defense is the best defense in football. And I tell you, you know when Patrick Mahomes last lost the Super Bowl? Is when he went up against a defense like mm-hmm. Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. Defense reminds me of Tampa Bay's defense that year. And I tell you, if we got to play them, I don't care who we play, Josh Allen, any of them, but we got to play them, we got something for that ass this year. Believe that. So E-A-G-L-E-S, go Birds, Washington, you're up next.
Love it, Chuck. Good phone call. I mean, Chuck's right. I mean, this bus ride is going to be a wild
It's going to be a phenomenal bus ride, Joe.
Where do you want to sit? I got to put your name first. What do you want to sit? You want it near the front, more, back, middle, more, window?
The more this bus ride becomes a real thing, yeah. The more I want to sit on a plane, Joe.
No. Stop now. You know you're on that bus.
The more I want to sit on the
bus. You're on the bus. The question is, where do you want to sit? That's all. You think about
well,
that.
I'm
got
saying,
a whole chart.
I'll probably sit at the back.
Back?
You know.
You want a window? Middle? Middle doesn't seem like you.
Yeah,
no.
I just want to sit in the back.
Okay, back of the bus for Hugh Douglas. All right, let's go to Jordan and Princeton. What's up, Jordan?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, Jordan. What's up?
Nice day after an Eagles win, and
it's
because
great.
It was such a dominating win, I think it's fair that we have this discussion about the media's role mm-hmm. in the controversy that played out through the team last week.
Okay.
And without editorializing first, I'd like to know if it is possible that the Philadelphia sports media, which is very invested in and very interested in the success of our teams, perhaps did not have the best interest in mind when they took this story and played it up to the extent that they did. And let's leave Brandon Graham out of it for a second. But picking up on the three words that A.J. Brown said in a post-game interview where I think the tone of his statement was interpreted, not the words themselves, do you think that the Philadelphia sports media potentially acted slightly irresponsibly in trying to make an issue where maybe there wasn't?
No. Jordan, is it the media's job to help the team win or to talk about the biggest story?
Do we want to see our team win?
Sure,
or
but,
do we
that's,
create
but that's
stories?
But no, but that's two different things. So the story is the story, and then the media talks about the biggest story that appeals to the most people. That's the job. We all want the Eagles to win. I mean, look, there's different realms, right? The people that cover the team are more unbiased. I'd say here at WIP, we're all fans. Some of us are obviously ex-players and bleed green, but we're all fans. We all want the team to win, yes. But like that was the story last week, Jordan. They made it the story. Brandon Graham did his own radio show and said what he said. I mean, that wasn't like picked apart. It was his words.
No, and you know, the Brandon Graham, I think, then begets a second question. And I think this might be the brilliance of BG because, I mean, you guys have him on a lot. And, you know, I think he's got a future in commentary. I think he's got a future beyond the game.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that he saw an issue being pushed by the media, and rather than let that story take its course, he spoke out of turn, knowing exactly what he was doing, because as a leader on the team and as an intelligent man, he saw that as a potential resolution before it continued to spiral out of control.
I agree. I thought that immediately. I think he did it on purpose, and it worked. I mean, if his goal was to get those guys to talk and kind of air things out and move it forward, I think it was achieved, because that seems like what they did this past week. I don't think it was by accident. I think he did it on purpose last week, Jordan. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, I do as well, and I give him a lot of credit for showing leadership despite being injured and potentially playing his last snaps ever as an Eagle. It just shows incredible maturity and love for the team that's been good to him.
Yeah, there's go ahead.
I think in summary, it was a very interesting story because we have had times of controversy in the Eagles where it was very clear. I mean, you can go back to Terrell Owens. There's many instances of real speaking out of turn. I believe that AJ was frustrated with the situation, not with any particular individual. I'd like to believe that we could have let that story blow past, but I just am very proud that we have a guy like Brandon Graham still working hard to keep this team together, using the position he has as a growing media personality in Philadelphia.
Well, it is a unique,
you know,
Jordan,
managed.
And good phone call. It is a unique thing, right? It's kind of the... You have an issue, a quote, a line, and then we have an active player. I know he's injured, but an active player with his own show to pontificate like he did last week, and then it led to everything. You good over there?
No, I just find it fascinating. I'm not mad at anybody, but I sat here and told everybody how this thing went down. But in our minds, we have spun this story in a way where because we got the big win. I just find it amazing that
we spun it like a top.
We spun this story to that Brandon did this on purpose to light a fire.
I agree.
And I told y'all immediately after he did it, he sat there and asked, did he do too much? So that doesn't sound like a guy to me that put a whole lot of thought in what he was saying.
No, but sometimes you yell and scream, and then you ask someone immediately after, did I go too far? It doesn't mean the message wasn't the right message.
No.
Yes.
This means that we have spun. Like, it did to get mad at the media for spinning the story. Hell, you just got on the radio and spun the story.
This was all
big
the Eagles.
Dreamweaver. Can I hear that? Dreamweaver? Because that's what we're doing.
We'll do that.
We're weaving dreams.
Yeah, 215-592-9494.
I'm okay with it, though, but y'all ridiculous today.
No, I think everything's spot on. All right, Howard, I think WIP deserves credit for the win. I mean, that's what I think. WIP's own Howard Eskin, he joins us next.
Howard.
He nailed exactly how the game would go. We'll talk to him and then back to the phones right here in the midday show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.